Okay, now we're going to move on and we're going to talk about something called ambient intelligence or ambient assisted technology. And I'm delighted to welcome to the show, I've got Professor Greg O'Hare. He's in the computer science department at UCD. Hopefully he's on the line. Greg?
How you doing, Sean?
Okay, so have I got the terminology right? Ambient assistant technology, is that right?
Well, the general banner that it would come under would be something called ambient assisted living or assistive technologies.
Okay. So I'm sure there's lots of people thinking we've no idea what that is. So maybe give us a general description of what it is and how long it's around.
Well, I mean, the general problem that exists not only in the developed world, but indeed in the developing world, is the demographic time bomb that's starting to occur. And we're starting to see with the longevity of people's lives that greater proportions of people are living for longer. This places considerable demands on society as a whole, in that financially the implication of running a health service where the demographic is starting to increase in terms of age is a burden. And indeed morally people want to be able to live independently within their own home for longer periods of time.
Mm-hmm. So is this technology primarily aimed at older people, at independent living for older people?
Yeah, I mean, not exclusively, Sean. I mean, you could obviously have people with a variety of conditions that for whatever reason they have to spend increasing proportions of their time within their home. But I mean, predominantly this would be technology that would assist people in the natural aging process.
Okay. Now, the other thing, I suppose, is that people, unfortunately, they're living longer, but they're also maybe lonely and they're living on their own. They might not necessarily have people to look after them, so that's an issue.
Yeah, I mean, I guess many of your listeners will be in a situation whereby they have mothers or fathers or indeed sort of close relatives that are getting, you know, older by the year, as it were. Mm-hmm. They maybe live independently on their own, maybe because their spouse or loved one has passed on. And they wish to respect their independence. But of course, they're always sort of haunted by concerns about, oh, I wonder how my mum or dad is at the moment. I wonder, should I ring and check up on them, et cetera, et cetera. So what we're trying to sort of look to is ways that we can have non-obtrusive technology and non-invasive technology whereby we might be able to raise alarms if there was to be some particular event that deviated from the normal pattern of behavior that a senior citizen would engage in.
Okay.
If maybe I could unpick that for you.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
Bit. So, for example, the vast majority of senior citizens are quite habitual in terms of their daily regime. So many of them get up at approximately the same time each day. They tend to go to bed at the same time in the evening. They maybe go to bed for an afternoon nap. They sit in their favorite chair. They have their cup of coffee or tea in the mid-morning. They watch Judge Judy or whatever their preferred program might be in the afternoon. So this, if you were to, in some sense, instrument their home with what we would refer to as sensors, you would be able to monitor and build up some data as to what this daily routine would be.
In terms of how they move around the home.
In terms of how they move, in terms of the activities that they perform within the home. And if you establish this as the baseline, then what you want to be able to try and do is to not monitor them per se, but to identify whenever there's been a significant departure from that daily signature.
Okay, so maybe if somebody is sitting in a chair for too long, then something could have happened to them.
Yes, or for example, if they haven't got out of bed and it's now 11:30 and they habitually get out at 9:30.
So in that situation then, you could have the sensor would trigger an alarm in the GP's office or...
Well, I mean, sort of, there's one particular system that we've been developing within Clarity, which is a research, an SFI-funded research centre.
In UCD, isn't
in
it, mainly?
UCD, yeah. And that particular system tries to raise what we would refer to as cascading alarms to a variety of different stakeholders. So in the first instance, the first alarm might just simply go to their loved one, suggesting that, you know, are you aware of anything? Is there any reason why they'd be behaving different today? And they might just simply pop in. Alternatively, you might raise the alarm to a greater level of severity, which might result in sort of healthcare professionals sort of making a visit to the home, etc.
Yeah, that's brilliant, because obviously there might be certain days where, you know, they're going to behave differently for whatever reason, if they've visitors or something like that. So you don't want the alarm presumably raised for something like the cries wolf then when you need it.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting point you raise, Sean, because this particular application space is very tolerant to what we would refer to in research as false positives,
yeah,
where you raise a false alarm.
Yeah.
The vast majority of people that are concerned about the welfare of their mom or dad or whatever, they actually don't mind if occasionally they get a false alarm. They pop out to the house and they're greeted by reassurance as their mother or father greets them at the door. They're quite tolerant to that. Where they're less tolerant is that if alarms were not raised in situations where there was a real issue had occurred.
Okay, and that's an interesting one. So tell us, is there anything else at UCD that you're, any other angle on it that you're looking at, this technology?
Well, another interesting thing to be aware of is in the case of people with cognitive decline, and in particular Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, it's estimated that there are over 35 million with Alzheimer's in 2010, but this number is set to rise to of the order of 65.7 million by 2030.
In the world?
In the world.
Right.
So this is, that represents sort of an order of increase of you know, 100% in a relatively short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed, there's a high incidence within Ireland of this condition.
Yeah.
But one of the sort of situations that seems to go part and parcel with Alzheimer's is a wandering behaviour.
Yeah, they get lost or in a car.
Absolutely, and there have been some relatively high-profile sort of cases reported in Ireland in recent years, where what seems to be happening is that the patient seems to be regressing to activities or things that they did many, many years earlier, perhaps in their childhood.
Yes.
So they might go and sit beside a river. And this is quite alarming for maybe a 70-year-old to be found sitting beside a riverbank. But, of course, they're just potentially regressing or remembering particular situations in their childhood. So one system that we've developed is a system for recognizing or monitoring wandering behavior.
Okay.
And in particular, this uses location-based technology based on GPS or global positioning system, which many of your listeners will be familiar with because, you know, it's technology that's almost now in every phone. But again, in certain situations, it may be acceptable for a given individual to wander quite a long way from their home.
Mm-hmm.
If, for example, it was Sunday and maybe they went to church
quite
a distance from their home. But it may not be acceptable for them to wander in a particular direction on a Monday or Tuesday. So what we've created is a system that designates zones of criticality around the home of the individual. And as they move from one zone into another zone, there would be an alarm raised to different stakeholders. As I mentioned earlier, perhaps in the first instance to a loved one, if they happen to keep moving further from their home towards maybe a very fast-moving river or a motorway or something, then an SMS message might be raised with the local Gardaí.
Sure. And presumably you're going to try and develop these into commercial products at some point, are you? Or is that part of the plan?
Well, I mean, obviously sort of the remit within the research agenda within Ireland is always one of where taxpayers' money is quite sort of limited, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be trying to look to find ways that we can place Ireland in a positive light and indeed provide competitive advantage for the Irish economy, as well as being able to provide perhaps the quality of service that's needed for these different constituencies of people.
Sure, sure. And for the general population, I know that, you know, I saw recently there that anybody under 2 now could live to 100 as a standard, which, you know, your kids, maybe my kids, they'd be living to 100. But so this is going to be a huge area going forward. You know, you want to live longer, but you want quality of life. But aside from that, for the younger population, does this technology have implications for them?
Well, I think certainly. I mean, there will be lots of different forms of assistive technology that will start to assist the aging population. And I mean, as we move from one generation to the next generation, the longevity of people's lives is going to increase. And indeed, probably their general health welfare is going to be maintained for longer periods of time. But notwithstanding that, we have to set that against what is inevitably going to be the rising cost of hospital bed nights. So, I mean, apart from the moral imperative of trying to enable people to live independently in their own home, there is, of course, the financial imperative that the more bed night spaces that you can keep freed up, then the better for the overall exchequer.
Yeah, it makes economic sense as well as moral sense, I suppose.
Absolutely. So yeah, it's a win-win.
Okay. Well, listen, we'll keep in touch with you, hopefully, and maybe you'll come back and tell us again about some of these projects in more detail. But it's great to talk to you anyway. That's Professor Gregory O'Hare. You're at the Computer Science Department, isn't it?
School of Computer Science and Informatics at University College Dublin.
Thanks very much for coming on the show.
Been a pleasure, Sean.
Okay,
thanks for having
bye-bye.
Me. Thank you. Bye-bye.